Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Details at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the June 21 edition of Commodity Week. The marketplace stutter-stepped just a bit this week, and next week, USDA's grain stocks and acreage reports are due, and there's a ring of fire making its way across the Midwest in the weather forecast. We'll try to find out what it all means today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
I am University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our panelists this week in studio include Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois. On one of the phone lines, Mike Zuzlo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana. And our guest on the other line later in the program will be Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises. He's from Cedar Falls, Iowa. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
Well, let's open our discussion with this question, and we'll start with you, Mike Zuzlo. This week, some producers may have had the opportunity to make sales for new crop corn, maybe even in the last couple of weeks for soybeans. Should that have been done, and when we reach those levels again, should they pull the trigger on another set?
I don't think at this stage, Todd, it would be good to do unless we got back up to that 575 trading range high for the last 6 months in December corn. And I would certainly be asking a lot of questions about what region they were in and how their crop looked as far as what type of hedge they put on in place, whether it's cash, whether it's basis, whether it's paper. I guess I feel like after this week, with the wheat turning higher and the weather uncertainty in the market, and given this late planting that we've had, if USDA doesn't come in and change the fundamental outlook that the trade's starting to tap into after this week, I think we could maybe test and maybe even break through that 575 range and maybe even put a six handle back on the corn for the December futures for a brief period of time.
Kurt Kimmel?
Well, we're moved back to this 550-570, or that's the area to make some catch-up sales. But I agree with Mike, pretty well sold up. I think the next level to shoot for here, we come in here next week and see how things unfold, would be the $6 level. Up towards there if you're pretty well sold up. We still like having the price floor under us. That keeps our cash open. We feel basis will be firmer here as we move into next fall and next winter, so we like the downside protection on paper.
And Wayne Nelson.
Well, I'm not quite as bullish as either of these guys. I think that if you haven't made any sales, these aren't bad levels. Yes, can we go a little higher? Yeah. I'm thinking along the lines of those 550 puts like Kurt was talking about. Some of the guys are turning around and selling some 14-year crop calls against those and actually collecting a little bit of premium back on them. So along those lines, if you don't have much sold and your crop's looking good, I'd get a little sold.
July corn this week had a high of $6.83¾. Its low was $6.51½. Settlement price there was 6¾ of a cent higher, Kurt. On the other hand, December corn at $5.56¼, which you would have thought might have been the weaker of the two futures contracts, was 23¼ cents higher. Why the disparity, and why so much strength in December versus July?
Well, a little bit more urgency on the new crop. We saw a lot unwinding the bull spread. We got first notice day coming up next week. A lot of selling the July longs and buying back the short D's. Also, too, we got wheat harvest coming along in through here. There's some ideas that maybe for short term in here we could see a little bit more pickup and buying new crop wheat at a little bit of a discount here out of the field. But the December contract had a good old-fashioned reversal off the low in there. The D's been making a low about every 3.5 weeks, so it's in good solid ground in here, and hopefully we can build on or hold this reversal together here for a while.
There's always a difference between cash bids and futures bids. Mike Zuzlow, I want to hop into wheat really quickly. The July this week is 7.10¾, top bottom at 6.74½. A settlement price there at $6.98. It finished the week, and the futures at least up 17.5 cents. Is it likely that it will bottom while we're in the midst of harvest?
I think next week's going to answer that, because I think that's when Kansas will really get started proper and we'll get better yield reports. So far they've been rained out, Todd, but I think this week was a surprise to the trade. I think the biggest issue that I saw fundamentally that really helped turn the market was on the global side, when Abares came out with their updated global wheat production number coming in at 690 million tons. That was over 5 million tons less than USDA's just a week or so ago. And I think that really maybe turned some eyeballs and turned some heads that maybe the wheat supply globally is not going up. And I think the mindset that has been the last few months that it is going up, and maybe now they're starting to second-guess that, along with some of the more poor yields that are coming out of Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle that we started to finally hear about late in the week.
Wayne, when we talked on the air this week, throughout most of the week, much of what we discussed had not to do with what was happening in Chicago, but actually what was happening at the federal government level, sometimes about farm policy, which did not pass in the way of the farm bill through the House of Representatives, but more importantly to the marketplace about QE3 and backing off on that, maybe getting out of it altogether in 12 months or so. It really pushed the marketplace around.
It sure did, Todd. I mean, I was in Washington, D.C. this week and did stop in and see my representative. And he did vote for the farm bill. So thanks to Todd Rakita for listening to me and voting the way we'd like to see him do it. You know, the headlines all over Washington, D.C. was what Bernanke said. He also said that basically they think they can be slowing this down in the future. But then on his comments afterwards saying that, but we're going to stay where we're at for right now. So who knows?
Yeah, we're going to see more discussion as we go along. You know, the farm bill is a complex problem, for say, with a lot of moving targets there. But the first one went down, they'll be quick to come back.
And when you look, Mike, at what Bernanke had to say, what do you see that in that as the global picture, maybe domestically as well?
Yeah, I think that the practicality of it is that the dollar Brazilian real spot rate hit the highest level since March 2009 on Friday's close, and that's not good for soybeans especially, and the fact that we're hitting 2.5% in the 10-year note is not good for the inflation bull, and the fact that we are seeing China lose some of its steam in its actual credit markets and its financial market is not good for the pork or the bean bull either. And I think this is where the Fed coming out to this week and saying we're going to keep on the path, like Wayne and Kurt were talking about, we're going to keep on the path of going away from QE. I think the trade could have handled that fine, but then they started to backpedal, and this was the second month in a row they did. And I just think the funds, the bond market, and the financial markets as a whole are starting to lose some confidence in how they're going to navigate our way away from QE.
Well, if the outside markets are not clear about what's happening with QE, I suppose the commodity markets may be a bit more clear next week, Wayne Nelson, on Friday when USDA releases the grain stocks, maybe, and the acreage reports. At least they'll have some numbers to hang their hats on.
Yes, we will, Todd, and I think that that's a big deal, that we will have some numbers to hang our hats on. You know, last time we reduced the production numbers or the yield per acre, but we left the acres the same, and we all know that there's going to be less corn acres. How many less corn acres is going to be a very big thing to look at, and I think that's one of the reasons maybe D's corn rallied.
Yeah, anywhere from 1 to 2 million less corn acres and a slight increase in bean acres. It's probably the interesting numbers is the corn stocks. Corn stocks are tight. Basis is reflecting that. Compared to a year ago, we're going to be tight. And that's probably going to be the more exciting number. But once these numbers are out, what's probably going to be more front and center is the weather forecast.
And Mike, your look at the acreage and grain stocks reports?
I agreed with all the other comments already. The only thing to throw on top of that is I think there is a pretty fair chance for a friendly report, because the expectations that at least Reuters put out was for about 10% less corn stocks than last year. And it sure seems to me, like Kurt was talking about on the basis and the spreads, we're less than that, and the average guess of 442 million bushels for beans, that's down about a third from last June. It sure seems like we're a lot tighter than that as well. So I think we go into this report maybe with the trade thinking the stocks could continue to support the trade overall.
And when we do that, that means probably, Mike, and the others as well, that the September contract could be a really interesting futures market, I would think.
Yeah, I think the end user, generally speaking, domestically, has been trying to get as much as he could from the farmer this past month of May and has not been very successful and has carried that over into the month of June. And that if the report for stocks comes out bullish, that September becomes more like an old crop month.
And if it does, will it offer up opportunities for farmers? And I know it would if they can get the grain out of the field, but otherwise, are there opportunities?
Well, I don't know if I'd combine it with syrup running out of the back of the truck or not, but yeah, that's going to be the challenge to get it out as soon as possible. Weather's going to play a big part in that, and that's what we've been going through for the last couple of years, robbing new crop to satisfy old crop supplies, and that's going to make the September kind of a hot contract here as we go into late summer.
And speaking of hot, next week is supposed to be really quite warm, warmer than average, Wayne. The Ring of Fire is in play, according to Mike Tenora, who we had on our program for Closing Market Report Friday afternoon. A Ring of Fire suggests that it'll be hot, but that on the leading edge of that, maybe across Interstate 80 in the Midwest, might be an awful lot of rainfall.
Yeah, there's flood warnings out, I think, for Friday afternoon for LaSalle, DeKalb, and up in that counties up in northern Illinois. Possibly heavy hail, everything along that way. So there is going to be some weather going through. And, you know, if that's widespread and whatever, some real big hail and wind damage now at this state, when it was growing really fast with the warmer weather, it could break a lot of stuff off.
July contract in the soybeans this week at a high of $14.93 and a quarter, or rather a settlement price of $14.93 and a quarter. It finished down 23 and a quarter. And the November beans at $12.73 and a half were down 24 and three quarters. Kurt, I thought beans were supposed to be the stronger of these two commodities. What happened?
Well, they were until the last 2 weeks. We saw the corn-bean ratio narrow up in through here. The emphasis is back on the corn side of the equation. It's much tighter on the supply-demand balance sheet. Asia pretty well is booked up now, trying to get supplies out of the southern hemisphere. For beans to take over leadership, it's going to have to be driven from problems in the southern hemisphere, transportation problems, or some hot, dry weather as we move into August.
USDA's numbers already for beans are lower than many analysts have been talking about for acreage, Wayne. Informa's numbers came out, and they're still above where USDA was on their March planting intentions report.
Yeah, you have to sort of wonder about that. And I think that it's going to all depend on how many acres went prevented plant and how many acres actually got planted. We know that there's going to be corn acres that weren't planted. What did happen to them? And that's the big question out there. I think as late as it got, a lot of people took the prevented plant insurance. Now, if they had grip, of course, doesn't have prevented plant.
Mike, you've been making trips across from Lafayette all the way to Atchison, Kansas. So you've been through a good part of Illinois, center part of Illinois, and then the northern part of Missouri a couple of times. Are the bean acres there, not there, not planted? What's been happening?
I think there's less prevent plant taken in corn and Missouri certainly was planting up until about a week ago, and the stuff was just getting put in the ground, if not just emerging. And so I think there are less corn prevent plant. I'm trying to make the case for the beans a lot more simple than the corn at this stage, Todd. I think like 2004, the new crop needs the old crop to pull it higher. After the June 30th report back in 04, the July Nov bean spread went from $1.90 to $3.40. On a closing basis, that would be the type of scenario that I think could give you more opportunities to sell higher-priced new crop beans. If you don't have the July pulling you higher at this stage, I'm like Kurt, it kind of gets more difficult because as the weather improves, I think the crop gets bigger.
Live cattle futures this week, a 121.60 settlement price. They were up $3.27.5. Feeders at 146.92.5 were up $3.52.5. And the lean hogs finished at 97.45. They were up 70. They topped out this week, by the way, at 99.35. They're kind of Looks like there's a $100 top there in the lean hogs. It's just going to be awful hard to get through.
It's pretty good resistance there. We've had a big pickup in demand in hogs. We saw a lot of product come forward in through here. Hogs are probably going to take a breather here. Bellies, unbelievable. 202, 203 at the wholesale. One too many years ago, we were looking at 80, 90 cent bellies. Seems like the genetics of the hogs might change here to produce bacon instead of the good old-fashioned pork chops. But unwinding the spread, they bought cattle, sold hogs on the spread in through here. Cattle's consolidated here sideways for about a month or two, and we're ready for them to go up about $2 or $3.
Mike, the cattle on feed numbers were out on Friday afternoon. Will they have much influence on the marketplace?
Yeah, I think they will. I think the trade's going to have to figure out whether they need the beef that the placements and the on feed numbers suggest that we still are seeing coming at us. And I think without a good summer grilling season, and the cattle will take a back seat to the pork complex and the hog complex as a whole, Todd.
Thank you so much. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. In studio with us, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana, on this June 21st edition of Commodity Week. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes when we'll talk with Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises. He is in Cedar Falls, Iowa. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason with a look at the weekend weather forecast. The northern part of the state should see mostly sunny skies Saturday with a high of 90, Sunday 91 and sunshine, and maybe a 45% chance of showers on Monday. The lows over that time period will be very warm, 72 on Saturday night, 72 again on Sunday evening, and 71 on Monday evening, that in northern Illinois. In the central part of the state, 20% chance of rainfall Saturday. A little bit warmer, 93 degrees, mostly sunshine, 72 for a low on Saturday evening in central Illinois. Sunday should see partly sunny skies and 93 degrees, mostly clear on Sunday night and 72. And then on Monday, a 20% chance of rainfall, 91 degrees, partly cloudy on Monday evening, and 73. In the southern part of Illinois, sunny skies, not quite as warm as the central part, 90 degrees for the high on Saturday, partly cloudy and 70 on Saturday evening, Sunday 90 degrees and sunny skies, and 71, mostly clear on Sunday evening. A 15% chance of rainfall on Monday in the southern part of the state, 90 degrees and then mostly cloudy on Monday evening, and 73. That's a look at the weekend weather forecast. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
This is the June 21 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason in studio with us. Wayne Nelson and Kurt Kimmel on the phone line from Lafayette, Indiana is Mike Zuzulo. And our guest on the other phone line hails from Cedar Falls, Iowa, Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises. Thanks, Glenn, for being with us today.
Oh, it's great to be back.
We better know what conditions are like on the ground first in your area.
Well, we're about as variable as it gets. I had farm meetings an hour north and an hour south this week, and night and day difference to the south. They look pretty good, pretty close to normal appearance behind, of course. To the north, a lot of prevented plant, and conditions of what the crop looks like really varies. It looks like crap around me, but improving by the day. What a lot of the guys have said, the one thing we could use right now is 2-3 weeks of heat. Okay. So as long as we don't bake this ground, they're probably right.
Well, Glenn, what's your opinion of the marketplace here? We've had a pretty good rally here. Are we due to pull back, or what's your opinion?
Well, if we had about 3 hours, I could lay it out because I'm having a hard trouble getting it into 2 or 3 newsletters. We look to me, the short version, there's two issues. One, we look a lot like 1984, post-short crop year. That year we had soybeans peak first, started peaking old crop beans right before Memorial Day, just like we started this year. Finished peaking the soybeans with the new crop in mid-June, much like this year. Corn market peaked a little bit after that on a bounce, rolled over, and in the next 10 weeks, soybeans lost about a third of their value. The other big issue is this QE thing. The I'm rarely surprised by what the marketplace does, but this week caught me by, not me by surprise, but caught me, I was surprised at how the rest of the people responded. Because the fact that the Fed was going to address the QE thing in a not-too-distant future was widely conjectured. They did, and yet the marketplace acted like it caught them blindsided. One of the things that's really been bothering me in recent months is the trading volume in the, on the stock exchange is at the lowest it's been. The day-to-day volume of all U.S. stocks is the lowest it's been in 13 years. Markets have gone on to new highs. Hedge fund managers tell me that the funds have been, that the trades have been bigger and bigger blocks, and there's a real worry that if this thing turns, there won't be the volume there to take the other side if they start liquidating. I'm really a little bit worried about how carried away this thing can get. I do not think the outside week up in the dollar this week is an accident. If we get another week of this or two in the coming weeks, one out of the next two, and are solidly higher, we could have quite the explosive rally in the dollar, and that is just going to add to the 1984 scenario repeating in the commodities.
Well, Glenn, all that said, I'm a farmer. Mm-hmm. What percent should I be sold in corn and beans?
My view has been to, since we've had these high extremes and 12 on, is to have 3 years' worth of sold, old crop sold, current crop sold, next year's crop sold, as best I can, and cover myself on paper when I'm worried about it. If the grains are rallying, if we're making new highs after the 4th of July, I'd be worried about covering my sales, you know, protecting them. Other than that, I'm more worried about making sure I've got my inventory priced as far out as I can handle than to be open to the market.
Glenn, is that because your demand outlook doesn't improve, like specifically for corn, or what puts you in that camp as far as supply versus demand?
My work is on human behavior, macro degree, long-term outlook, and the simplest way to put it is from 1974 through 2008, corn never had three extreme highs in a six-year period, never. And those were enough to generate enough optimism to keep the marketplace eventually oversupplied. 2008, 11, and 12, three extreme highs in a five-year period, we are geared up to believe we can't produce enough corn, nor that we can reduce the usage enough, and we'll do exactly the opposite. Manias have an unerring pattern to lead to surpluses. Look what's happening in the energy industry and how what our trends on crude oil in this country is. You know, we got the mania there. We're eventually, some theorize even that we could be oil self-sufficient by the end of the decade or shortly after.
Glenn,
we've been way too optimistic, so I think that'll affect us on our macro degree supply and demand trends.
Glenn, the gold and silver market took a real tumble this week.
Mm-hmm.
Is that thing that's going to stay around, or are we going to bounce back?
Yes. I think we probably got carried away this week, so we probably should bounce back. The problem is we had been, since April and the Boston bombing accelerated the selling there, we'd been trading sideways in gold and silver. But in all that time, the closes, the daily closes, kept trending downward in silver. Gold, they were flattening out in a descending triangle, having closed out into new lows. Even that sideways pattern couldn't generate optimism to generate buying. That's why I'm talking about those closes kept deteriorating. I don't see buying coming in to sustain this. I could see some short covering to allow us bounce back. Look, we started a secular bear market in 2008. We got it in gear in 2011. And we probably are due a secular bear market in commodities until at least the middle of the decade.
Well, Glenn, is it too late to sell the bond market then, or you see more down?
I wouldn't begin to sell the bond market because in seven of the last 10 years we made extremes in the May-June timeframe, often lows. So I wouldn't begin to sell it yet. So, no. Secondly, bonds are probably, whenever they do have a bottom, they'll probably trade in a 2.5 to 5% yield for years to come. So I'm not terribly excited about the bond market. Put it this way, I think it could be too wild, too much attention, and I don't want to be involved. Now, if we finish a month below 135 on nearby bonds, it'll be the first time we've broken a monthly reaction low since the early 1980s, and that would change the trend from up to not up, not to down.
Hey, Glenn, I want to know, because one of your statements early on told me that you were probably more bearish the bean market than the corn market, but a statement a bit later in the program maybe told me you were pretty bearish in the corn market as well. Which one of those two commodities do you feel less friendly about?
I think you got it right on in this sense. The history would indicate from a price standpoint the bean market is probably more vulnerable here. I'm probably, and I don't like to view myself as being bearish or bullish, but I understand what people are asking. The markets are either bearish or bullish, and I do see the corn market being the least bullish or least bearish this year. I still see it as being a bearish market, but I see the corn market also being very bearish over the next 3 years. So I'm looking at the multi-year trend. I think in corn is very bearish. I think this year corn and maybe surprisingly wheat could be the most bearish. And wheat would be from a technical standpoint. I can respect the fact that it rejected last week's action. Last week, July Kansas City wheat posted a new close for the calendar year, new low close for the calendar year. Odds are good that we're trending down into fall for a 9-year cycle or 9-year turn. But if we don't come back to those lows, I can respect that for a rally. If we come back to those lows, wheat acts like it often acts like it steps down an elevator shaft. And I'm afraid this elevator shaft could be in the Sears Tower. Like it could be a big collapse. I've got wheat having downside risk to 440 over the next couple of years.
Michael?
When the wheat breaks higher, if that would last past this past week, Glenn, is there a price target that would kind of give you an idea that, okay, we do have a harvest low in place, either Casey or Chicago?
First of all, I have no precedent for the 9-year turn to come this early. But if December Chicago wheat gets out over about 760, I'll respect that a lot, giving an outside shot then maybe to get into the 8.5, 8.25 area. So it's even unusual to rally beyond early July in a year with a 9-year turn. And when you have a 9-year turn coming in wheat, typically it will trend down all year until that low is made, and that's usually September through December. And it can sometimes it'll go sideways like we've done in the second quarter here. It'll sometimes go sideways like that. But to sustain a rally above 760 would get my attention and make me wonder if we got an early turn or getting some other kind of curve thrown at me.
Glenn, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
You're very welcome.
Glenn Ring is with Glenn Ring Enterprises out of Cedar Falls, Iowa, joined us here on Commodity Week. Let's check in with a final word from our panelist. We'll start with you, Mike Zuzlo, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting.
Well, it sounds like the crop has improved in quite a few areas this past week, Todd, so we shouldn't be surprised if Monday afternoon or Tuesday is a tougher day for December corn with crop conditions probably improving from that 64% good to excellent we got this past week.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois.
This week's going to be a volatile week, weather, reports. July deliveries come in place. Look for a lot of choppy action.
And Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana.
I agree with both the guys. I think that we're going to have a real exciting week coming up, number one, because of the reports, and number two, to see what sort of violent weather we've had.
And that wraps up this edition of Commodity Week for the 21st day of June. Don't forget, if you'd like to join me on Monday in Bloomington Normal at the Marriott for the University of Illinois Tax School Estate Planning and Succession event, you can do that. Walk in around 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. It's $50, but you can do it. It's subsidized by Farm Credit. It's a good deal. I hope to see you there on Monday, and it's open to everyone. Have a great week. I'm Todd Gleason.